Thanks to Brad for leading us. And won't you turn, please, in your Bible. We're going to continue in the book of James. And so, if you would turn, please, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and I'd like to consider tonight just a few verses from verse 19. But I'd like to just read verse 18 as well, and down to about verse 25. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Just so far. Now, normally I pray before we consider the word, and again tonight I do want to pray. But I wonder whether we shouldn't also just use this opportunity to pause for a minute and just consider our standing with God tonight. You know, life can get so busy, and perhaps even ministry can get so busy, we forget to reflect and we forget to pause and just wonder how we're doing in our walk with God. And so we're going to have a moment of silence, and in that quietness, if you would just consider, ask God to search your heart, consider your heart before Him. Pray for yourself and just pray for others too, for spiritual vitality and real growing in faith and in godliness. We sang that hymn tonight. It really struck me. Transform my heart, I think, or was the one phrase. Conform my will and my mind. All these things, we want to be conformed to God, to be changed. Is that happening? So let's just be quiet before God. Let's just consider just our hearts before Him and under Him. And then pray just for yourself and perhaps for those even around you quietly, in the quietness of your own heart. And then I'm going to lead us in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do want to just come before your throne of grace, confessing our fallenness, Lord, our waywardness, our weaknesses. Lord, again and again, we see your faithfulness, we see your stirring, your Spirit's work in our lives and hearts and minds. And yet, Lord, we often fail you. We often stand still in our walk with you. Sometimes we even slip back. Sometimes, Lord, we confess there is a callousness and a hardness. And we want to bring all of this before you tonight. And Lord, we want to pray for each other. As we sit here tonight, a large body of people, and Lord, all of us coming from different experiences of life, even this past week, perhaps there are challenges and pressures upon some here tonight that we are not aware of, but that weigh down heavily. Lord, we want to ask that you would lighten this load, that you would enable one and another to just cast their care upon you. Pray that you would continue, Lord, to to help us to love you with heart and soul and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Forgive us, Lord, when hypocrisy rules and reigns. And sadly, Lord, from time to time, we must confess that that happens. We pray instead that you would lead us forward as growing believers, effective in your kingdom, bringing glory to the name of God, exalting you in this world that we live. And so, Lord, as we turn to the scripture tonight, I do pray that you would help us to make this word, Lord, effective and useful. And may God be glorified among us here tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I thought maybe this passage could be introduced by saying that divorce causes a stunting in the life of the Christian believer. Now perhaps you're saying I've lost the plot a little bit, because where does this passage speak about divorce? Well, it doesn't speak about divorce in terms of marriage, but it does speak about another kind of divorce. It's not the kind that happens between a husband and a wife that I'm wanting to focus on tonight, but this very, 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 very important subject of hearing the word and doing it. And as I thought about this passage, I thought to myself, man, there's nothing new that I'm going to be sharing with the congregation tonight. This is one of those passages, in a sense, that one addresses like going to the dentist. I hate going to the dentist. But you know what? I don't miss going to the dentist every 6 months. I regularly go. I don't like it. I don't like what he does to me. But I do it. Because I need it. I want my teeth to still be in my mouth when I turn 50 and 60. And so for the sake of the well-being of my teeth, I endure a hard visit to the dentist. And it's that kind of passage that really is confronting us here tonight. It's not an exciting passage. It's not a passage that is a wow passage. It's a passage like a visit to the dentist. Because there is in our lives this tendency to separate what the Bible teaches and what happens in everyday life. Do you agree? God speaks so clearly, so simply, repeatedly on certain subjects. We know so well many of those words, we can quote them off by heart. We can share them with other people. But sadly, so often, it doesn't play out in the everyday living of life. So often, there is this gulf between theology and practice. Sometimes we can get so animated and excited about theological truths, but the very same doctrines and the very same truths don't find themselves working their way through in holy living that we were singing about in the earlier part of the service tonight. And you know what happens? It causes stunted growth. It causes the reality of many baby Christians, immature Christians, and perhaps even dysfunctional Christianity. Well, this passage is addressed in this way, or James addresses these issues in this particular passage. And we did see, and I read verse 18 from chapter 1 very deliberately, and we saw last time I preached that the chosen instrument that the Holy Spirit uses to give spiritual life, the fact that you are a believer, the fact that you've come to know the Lord Jesus, the fact that you've been born again, and the many reasons we can give tonight, the fact that you know the forgiveness of sins, that you've been accepted before the Father, is all because of this work of the Word of God. Verse 18, He chose to give us birth through the Word of truth. This word that we really need to see as a God-breathed word, a word that has been preserved in the Bible for us, and a word that God powerfully uses with the Holy Spirit to change your life and my life. And the word that in fact has led us, many of us, to the place where we are tonight in our standing with God. But the point that James is now making as he moves on, he says, not only is this word significant and vital and absolutely fundamental and important in bringing life, but this word is important also in the ongoing growing and developing of life as a Christian. And he gives us some advice. And that's that advice. It's just some practical advice I'm really wanting to give you tonight. And myself, by the way, so that we may continue to grow, so that we do not become stale and stagnant. There's nothing worse than a stale Christian. You agree? Nothing worse than being ice cold and making professions with our mouths, but not really owning it in our hearts. Well, two things really that I want to speak about tonight. And the first is the process of receiving the truth. And even tonight, it's important that this be applied. And so consider with me then what he says about receiving the truth. And simply what he's saying here is he's saying receiving the truth requires preparation. Got to prepare your heart. And again, many examples come to mind. I'm no great gardener. That I have discovered in my life, and I don't think I'm ever going to be a great gardener. But one thing I've learned is that if you want a nice garden, if you want to have nice lawn, you have to prepare the soil before you plant the seeds. Isn't that true? Preparation needs to take place. Another good example would be that of painting. You can do a wonderful job with Dulux, whatever it's called, Lifeguard, I'm not sure. And if you haven't done the preparation, it won't be 2 weeks or 2 months before that paint begins to peel off. When I was a young man, I think it was the second car I bought was a Volkswagen variant. I don't even think they exist anymore. When I was meant to take delivery of this car, the guy, a friend who was selling it to me, had an accident. So instead of paying 300 rand for my car, I paid 150 rand. And with the remaining 150 rand, I went to a scrapyard and bought another Volkswagen variant. And we chopped the front of that Volkswagen variant off and welded it onto the front of my car. And a good friend of mine, who's now the pastor of the Benoni Baptist Church, was helping me. And he at that stage was in love with a particular young lady at the Mondial Baptist Church. And while we were putting the I've even forgotten the stuff, I've done it such a long time ago, the putty, the body putty, and sanding this car, old Grant got so mesmerized in his thinking about his dearly beloved that he started sandpapering with the water paper her initials on my bonnet. SP. Can't mention her name because she's the wife of a Baptist pastor today too, and not his. We didn't think anything of it because the car looked so good and the body filler had been all done nicely. We'd rubbed the car down and there was SP on my bonnet and we spray painted it with baby blue. That was the in color in 19, whatever it was, 70 something. Well, for the remainder of the years, my Volkswagen variant had SP written on the bonnet. Everybody could see it. Because after we sprayed it, the SP just remained there. You see, the preparation work had not been done properly. And so therefore, I had a defective, or depending from whose perspective, but in my opinion, a defective Volkswagen variant. And that's exactly the point. In the same way that with soil, we need to put fertilizer and irrigation, in the same way that you do a paint job, you do the rubbing down properly, so when you come to the Word of God, there are certain things you need to do to receive the truth by preparing yourself in different ways. And here are the different ways. The first is, have an open ear. Now, there's a certain discipline involved in having an open ear. Verse 19, be quick to listen. I've known quite a few people already who have gone to courses in listening. And the reason is because most people, most of us, need to learn to open our ears rather than our mouths. We are slow to listen as people. And the Word of God must first be heard before there can be a response in faith. Doesn't it makes logical sense. You've got to hear it. You've got to apply yourself in making the effort to hear it. I see some of you taking notes, and I think that's great. Because it's true, much of what you hear simply disappears. And so to have a discipline of listening, a willingness to learn. And this is a great need, not only in the church, but in relationships all over the place. One author by the name of Paul Tournier, I think he makes such an excellent point. He says, listen, this is what he suggests, listen to the conversations of our world, between nations as well as between couples. They are, for the most part, dialogues of the deaf. Isn't that true? When a politician has a debate, I've always wondered about Parliament. Because every time I've watched Parliament or seen any one of them in action, I see that they have a manuscript typed out beforehand. And regardless of what the opposition says, they don't listen. They simply say what they want to say. And I think that happens within the context of marriages too. We say what we... My wife often says to me, you're not listening to me. So I'm preaching to myself here tonight. We already decide. In fact, while we are supposed to be listening, we are formulating a response which we've already decided about in terms of our perspective. And so we need to break this pattern of the dialogues of the deaf. Billions and billions of words are being produced every second. But I think only a fraction is being heard. And the Bible is filled with words from God to you. You know, one of the reasons I am an evangelical, and one of the reasons I really am committed to the Bible, is because of the Enlightenment era and what happened with liberals and the church and the Bible. I'm sure most of you know that liberals don't accept the scriptures as the Word of God. They simply see it as a collection of religious writings. And I will never forget a story about a certain theologian. And he's not the greatest theologian, but in his day, he made a huge breakthrough because his students were coming to him and pleading with him and saying to him, what is God saying to us? Because the liberals had taken the Bible away, and so they had left their students and they had left the church in darkness and in a void. And Karl Barth, who, by the way, for most of us here tonight, and I'm not suggesting Karl Barth is the greatest theologian, but this one lesson he did learn. And he went away and he struggled with the issues, and he came back and he said, the liberals are wrong. They've got rid of the Word of God, which is the Bible. And this is the one fundamental foundation that you cannot erode. And so the Bible is filled with words from God to you. And if you're wondering what it is that God is saying to you, read your Bible. Listen to the words. And of course, hearing, the point that James is trying to make, goes further than just listening. And actually, it requires learning. A willingness to learn. A willingness to change. A willingness to be molded. A willingness to be formed. And so this command, this particular issue of preparation, is to chase after every opportunity to learn more about God and His will, and therefore be quick to listen. Secondly, have a controlled tongue. And it just follows on, really. He says they're slow to speak. Another problem I've got, I'm confessing many things yet tonight. My response is so quick and too quick many times. I have struggled and I continue to struggle with slowness to speak. And we need to learn this discipline to be sensitive to the dangers of speaking too quickly, too passionately. And again, to quote somebody who I think hits the nail on the head, Earl Kelly, he says, our civilization is a civilization without a silencer. I just think that's so profound. Isn't that true? I think most of you know, listening to my preaching, that I listen a lot to the radio, and particularly 702. And my experience with Radio 702 is that our world, our nation, is filled with instant experts. The lines are jammed. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has the answer. And I think the words of the Proverbs are so appropriate. Proverbs 17, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint. And a man of understanding is even tempered. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. Slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to speak. Again, to quote a rabbi, in fact, this is a general opinion, position of the rabbis on this particular issue. I love it. They say, men have two ears but one tongue, that they should hear more than they speak. The ears are always open, ever ready to receive instructions, but the tongue is surrounded with a double row of teeth to hedge it in and keep it in with proper bounds. I think the rabbi's got it right. Got it right. Use the ears, use the tongue appropriately. Thirdly, preparation comes by having a calm spirit. Again, just verse 19, slow to become angry. You see, anger normally comes, particularly in conversation and debate, when our particular point of view is being challenged. And in all honesty, I think it comes about because as a result of a selfish and arrogant spirit that is not willing to listen, and often saying things without being informed. And if two people are in that particular position, friction will result. And so therefore the appeal, slow to become angry, keeping a calm spirit, was the writer to the Proverbs, or at least the writer of the Proverbs, says in chapter 16, better a patient man than a warrior. A man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Or in the words of James, chapter 1, verse 20, for a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Fourthly, we need to have a clean heart. Verse 21 simply says, therefore, in the light of what has gone before, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. I'll never forget, my son is not yet tonight, so I can use him as an illustration, Joshua. He was a little guy, about one and a half, and I was a student at Baptist College. We were living in this house that belonged to my mother-in-law, and I just changed the oil of my car. And I'd left this tin, half, 5-liter oil can cut open on the side with all this black gunge. And Carol discovered that Josh had painted himself from top to tail. Immediately, her response to him was, take off those clothes. And that is exactly what has been suggested over here. If you are ready to receive the word, you must take off the dirty clothes of sin. The dirty clothes, and again quoting another author, he says, act as a wax accumulating in your ears, reducing your ability to hear. I think it's right. The further we are away from God, the more sin that we accommodate in our lives, the less likely we are to hear what God is saying. Take off the dirty clothes, but put on the clean clothes. Receive the means of growth. And verse 21 says, and humbly accept the word planted in you, so that that word would bring forth fruit. Well, secondly, I think those are just some suggestions, a bit of advice in terms of receiving the truth. I want to now speak about the issue of responding to the truth. This is the hard bit. I have sat so many times listening to others, and I think I've been there myself, where we acknowledge and we say, yes, I know that is what the Bible says. And essentially what we're saying is we know that's what God says, but the difficulty of taking the step of obedience. Truly accepting God's word actually logically means we need to do it. We must not, we cannot live lives that are divorced from the truth. And yet is the big evangelical pitfall. We think that agreeing with Scripture is the same as obeying it. It's not the same thing. Agreeing with Scripture is not the same thing as obeying it. And I want to read a little story here that I found in Chuck Swindoll's book. He has a little booklet called Improving Your Serve. And he says, let's pretend you work for me. In fact, you're my executive assistant in a company that is growing very rapidly. I'm the owner, and I'm interested in expanding overseas. And to pull this off, I make plans to travel abroad and stay there until the new branch office gets established. I make all the arrangements to take my family and move to Europe for 6 to 8 months. And I leave you in charge of the busy organization. I'll tell you that I'll write regularly and give you direction and instructions. I leave and you stay. Months pass, a flow of letters from Europe and they're received by you at the national headquarters. I spell out all my expectations. Finally, I return. Soon after my arrival, I drive to the office. I'm stunned. Grass and weeds have grown up high. A few windows along the street are broken. I walk into the receptionist's room and she's doing her nails, chewing bubble gum and listening to 702. I look around and notice the waste baskets are overflowing. The carpet has not been vacuumed for weeks and nobody seems concerned that the owner has returned. I ask about your whereabouts and someone points down the hall and yells, I think he's down there. Disturbed, I move in that direction and bump into you as you are finishing a chess game with the sales manager. I step into my office, which, by the way, has been temporarily turned into a television room for watching afternoon soap operas. What in the world is going on? What do you mean? Well, look at this place. Didn't you get any of my letters? Letters? Sure. Got every one of them. As a matter of fact, we have a letter study every Friday night since you left. We've even divided the personnel into small groups and discussed many of the things you wrote. Some of those things were really interesting. You'll be pleased to know that a few of us have actually committed to memory some of the sentences and paragraphs. One or two have memorized an entire letter or two. Great stuff in those letters. Okay. You got my letters. You studied them, you meditated on them, discussed them, and even memorized them. But what did you do about them? Now, it's a stupid story. I think it's ridiculous, in fact. But I was struck by it because I think it's true. Especially among us evangelicals who hold the Word of God high. And those things are all important. The Bible studies and the memorization and the discussion. It's all great. It's wonderful that we grapple with the issues that our God is saying to us. But the important thing is we have to obey. We cannot separate hearing and doing. Otherwise we fall into the category of being deceived. And so verse 22 tells us, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. And I thought in conclusion, well, let me just think of some of the issues that I encounter in my own life and in the lives of others. Of course, if you're not a believer yet tonight, the Word of God commands you to repent and believe. And so God is saying that to you. There's no need to wonder, has God got something to say to me? No. God has said something to you, and to every unbeliever, He's saying that you need to repent, that you need to confess your sin, that you need to receive His forgiveness, that you need to believe. You've got to do it. For those who are believers, a couple of examples and categories. If the Word says to you, forgive, you must forgive, regardless of the infringement or the difficulty. If there's somebody who has hurt you and there's somebody who has done something ugly to you, the Word of God says that we are to forgive. in the light of God's forgiveness of us. We are to forgive. If the word says love, we must love. If the word says go into all the world and make disciples, we do that. Whether we do it in Timbuktu or whether we do it in Pretoria, we are to do it. If the word says we are to be fair and just, we must do it. In fact, I love the passage in John chapter 2, where Jesus is about to perform his first miracle. And his mother points out to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. And dear friend, tonight, as I say, we come to the end of your session at the dentist. If you are not growing as a Christian, I want to tell you tonight, more than likely, it is because you may be receiving, but you are not obeying. You have to receive the word. You must obey the word. We have to, together, as we seek to go on in our Christian walk with God, take seriously the things He says and do it. And I urge you tonight, I'm urging myself in this process, that we take the Word of God seriously and not be picky or choosy about what we think suits us or doesn't suit us, or what suits our theological model or doesn't suit our theological model. Listen. Prepare in the way that He has advised and receive from Him, responding to that Word with obedience. And of course, as the Holy Spirit enables and encourages and gives further growth, vitality in your life as a believer. Dear Lord, we do pray tonight that You would indeed help us in this difficult area. And Lord, this is part of the grind of everyday life and living. The Monday stuff and the Tuesday stuff, and when we get caught up in the things of the world and the pressures of the world. And yet, Lord, we have heard Your word. We do pray that You would help us to receive it, to respond to it. And just enable us, Lord, we pray, to obey. And so help us in our walk with You, in our relationship with You, that walk be a growing one, that we indeed, Lord, be molded and formed and transformed into that holiness that we were singing about earlier this evening. And so bless us, Lord, as we anticipate this week. We have much rest ahead of us this week, a week of a difference with public holidays. Lord, may it be a useful week in our walk with You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.